Job chapter 38. Now, there's something happening in America. Actually, it's happening around the world because we've had missionaries and pastors from around the world contact American pastors and missionaries and say things like, keep your American music at home. We don't want it out here in these countries. The people out there recognize what's been happening with Christianity. And we in America don't usually realize what's happening because we're like that frog we talked about there a couple weeks ago, where this frog is sitting in the water, or this toad, and that water slowly heats up, and that toad doesn't realize that he's being boiled. Amen? If anybody jumps into that water and realizes, man, this water is too hot, if they got any smarts at all, they've jumped out. Amen?
Right.
It amazes me, why is it that when somebody jumps into some hot water with that toad or with that frog, that they don't realize that water's hot? Or if they do realize that water's hot, why don't they get out? I suppose in some ways the stupid frog that's in there who doesn't realize it's hot can convince this new member of the boiling party that, hey, it really isn't that bad. If you stick around, you'll learn to like it. And we know that our conscience can be seared. We know that it doesn't take much time at all, and we're already used to something. Or at one time, we knew it was bad. But over time, we've come to realize it really isn't that bad. I talked with one of my students the other day over the internet, and this person mentioned that I'm just starting to get into modern contemporary music with my instrument. And it wasn't just a couple of years ago that this person was playing Bible hymns. Nothing spectacular, but she was being used of the Lord to allow people to sing praises to God. And that's it, amen? Didn't need any fancy arrangements, didn't need any fancy scales or twizzles on the instrument. It's just, I'll play my instrument, I'll play the piano, my wife will play organ. Different people play different things. It's because they want to help you sing, and you're playing the talent that God gave you because you're giving Him the praises. That's it, amen? Well, it didn't take long at all. Now this person's into contemporary, modern band music. And that stuff sounds terrible. It's a terrible sign of thing. We'll talk about that tonight a little bit. But see, now talking to that person's happy with it. Matter of fact, that person said, you have to learn to like it. And I said, yeah, you do. And it's too bad you're willing to learn to like it. So what's happening is we're finding out that music is becoming a very destructive thing in the churches. Now, we know we talk about Bibles and the King James and the words of God, and we don't have any problem with that. We know that that's a powerful thing that needs to be dealt with. But I heard the other day, I don't know if I'm going to quote this right, but a quote that Napoleon had made. He said, in order to destroy something, you've got to replace it with something different. And it wasn't in context with music. It had to do with the Bible. You want to get rid of God's words, then you better replace it with some other words. Well, that's not the subject of tonight's message, but when you think about it, maybe in a different message, we'll talk about that someday. How did the words of God in America be taken away? How is it that people don't realize that the Word of God has been destroyed, even though they have one in their hand? I mean, they think they have one in their hand, and they really don't. Amen? So what's happening here, somebody had to replace this Bible with something else. They had to replace it with something that looks like a Bible, sounds like a Bible, but in all reality isn't a Bible, isn't God's words. Well, we know one of the things they replaced it with, Bible versions, all sorts of different versions out there, hundreds of them. And they're still coming up with more and more. And yet, in America, we've even replaced the Word of God with something else. And we have replaced the Word of God in this country with music. Now, how do we know that? Well, we're going to go through some scripture study here. We're going to talk about music a little bit here tonight. But if you think about it, you go into a religious bookstore, and what do you see? you see a music store. So there's a clue that there's something different going on. Now, you remember we talked about this one time. If I were to hand out a different piece of puzzle to everybody in here tonight, and if we were to take the time, because I'm never in a hurry to go home, and have each one of you give me the story about the puzzle that you have, that little piece. Some of you look at your piece, and you go, look, I think I see a flower in there. And then you start coming up with this neat story about a flower. One of you look at that little piece of puzzle, and, well, that looks like a gate. Gates of heaven. And you start talking about, not gates of heaven, the gate of heaven. And you start making, some of you even throw in a Bible study. Man, you'd sound really Bible-ish. Amen? And yet it comes to find out that we hit all these 40 or 50, or if you get a 5,000-piece puzzle, which would be a challenge for us, that'd be like 1,000 pieces a person here almost, we would hear all sorts of stories about those pieces. And more likely, they'd be good stories. Some would be short. Some would be long. You know, some would be loud. Some would be soft. Some would have scriptures. Some wouldn't. Some, you wouldn't have any story at all, so you'd lie about it. You'd make it up, and you know, we'd still believe it anyway. So, but if I would come along and I would show you the picture of the whole puzzle, you would probably find out that your piece, your Bible study behind your little piece, really had nothing to do with the picture at all. You're just off base. Even though you had a good lesson, you had a good object lesson, you had a little piece, that was the nicest little gate I've ever seen. And that's fine, you know. And yet, you find out that that isn't the right piece. It doesn't fit the puzzle at all. Well, I want to try to do that tonight with music. People are arguing all over, talk about a divisive subject, and that's music. There are people that will argue till they're blue in the face about syncopation. They'll talk about the person who wrote the music. They'll talk about the instrumentation in the music. They'll talk about whether the elements are involved or whatever musical thing they can talk about. They'll even talk about whether or not this music is considered good enough music to be in their church. Should we or should we not have taped accompaniment? Should we or should we not have a guitar up here? You know, a couple of years ago in this big old church back in New York, you know, they wouldn't have a guitar in that church. And the pastor at that time didn't mean it bad, but one of the ladies who got saved, who was back in the hippie days, knew what that guitar represented then and said, no way are you going to have that guitar up in this church. Well, we play guitar. I try to play guitar. David plays guitar. Becky plays guitar. Cassie Hines, they have the guitars now. So we've come to learn that that's acceptable if it's praise to the Lord. That's what they say. But there would be an argument over that because, well, if it was acceptable now, why isn't it then? And if it is acceptable now and then it wasn't, maybe if we plug in these guitars, it must still be acceptable. And then we go into this argument. And we got people arguing all over the country. Well, if we step back and look at what's happened to music from the time that it started until today and to what's coming in the future, I think a lot of folks have come to realize those things aren't worth arguing over. We've got to step back and look and see what has taken place and what is now taking place and what is going to take place with music. And we'll see some startling conclusions. Now, in Job chapter 38, verse 7, we will see that God was the one that had music to start with. Amen? Job 38, verse 7. From the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, that's where we would start off with music. Now, where is it going to end? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Let's look at verse 1 here. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. And it goes on. There's music at the beginning, and there's music at the end. And what takes place between the beginning and the end is absolutely fascinating. Okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 3. go to Daniel chapter 3. Just touch base on a story that I think most people are familiar with. As we said at Regency, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We got them all saying those names of those people here. But we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3, and this is where these people were told that they need to bow down to this image that Nebuchadnezzar built. And I think most people understand the story. We won't get into the part about who was in the fire. We know Jesus Christ was in the fire. Amen? That's a spiritual lesson there. But Daniel chapter 3, let's look at verse 5. Here's a verse where it tells the people what's the clue that they're going to be given that they have to bow down to this false god, to this false image. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, which is a trombone, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Now that same thing is said in verse 7, it says the same thing in verse 10 and verse 15. Seems to me it's a pretty important thing when it's in there four times. What I want you to see is I want you to see the phrase and all kinds of music. People will get off on the bunny trail of the fact that, you know, if we listen to rock music, you're going to be worshiping Satan. If you listen to jazz music or big band music or whatever, you're going to be listening to Satan. You need to listen to this person play harp. You need to listen to this person play this beautiful piano arrangement. And I remind myself of Daniel chapter 3, where it says, all kinds of music. To me, that tells me that it isn't always bad music, whatever bad music is, that's going to cause people to fall down and worship the image, worship the wrong god, worship the false god, amen? They heard all kinds of music. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now we all have a body, we all have a soul, and we all have a spirit. There's probably many people out there that don't believe that, but that's, again, that's not tonight's message. Whether they believe that or not has nothing to do with truth. It's true. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. Now if we go into 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, we'll find another good story about music. Saul is having a rough day, verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Now you go through that story, which is a good story worth reading sometime. We go to verse 23. David is the one that they go to get. David does come, and he's a good musician. He knows how to play that instrument. He knows what to do. He's a cunning player. He knows what to do with that music. And he does what he does for Saul, and it goes down to verse 23, and it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So what we have there is another biblical example, and biblical examples are examples to follow, amen? Amen. Doesn't matter that your pastor says this or your you know, different people say this, we need to get it from here. And if it's in here, we all say that this is our final authority. This is the book that we walk. Then it seems to me that that book is telling me, in the right manner, music can be a blessing physically, mentally, spiritually. Because Saul was made well, refreshed, and the evil spirit departed. Now what someone's going to do with that verse, they're going to say, look at that, see? Look at the power of music. That evil spirit departed because I played some good music. I'm going to plug in this cassette, and I'm going to walk with God. And it's a good cassette. But then I remind myself, but don't forget that lesson in Daniel. Even good music can cause us to worship the wrong God. So where do we go with that? Well, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 9. Verse 25. Story goes with Noah. I was thinking about the Y2K thing. We need to just build a boat. We got transportation. We got water. We got food. Amen. Noah builds a boat. Does what he's supposed to do. The whole Noah scene takes place. It's all completely done. And some rotten things take place with his son. And we go to verse 25, and here's the conclusion of the Noah story. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Now, this is the part in the Bible to where in a couple years, if it isn't already time, King James Bible-believing people are going to be accused of being racists. We're going to be accused of being white supremacists. Why is that? Because God gives a serious blessing here to one of those people and all the folks that come along down behind him. That's Japheth. And there's one of those brothers in there, he gets kind of halfway a blessing, halfway cursed a little bit in there. That's Shem. And the third one, who blew the whole scene, he's going to pay for a long time. And now again, people will bunny trail that thing, and they'll get into a whole other ballgame. They're going to say, "Well, you're just racist." No, this is what the Bible says. Amen? And that's one of the spots we're going to get hassled over. Now, what we have here, we're going to take a quick look from this point on in the Bible, from Genesis on to the end, of what it is that took place in the line of Ham all the way through time. We're going to look at what took place from Shem all the way through time. And we're going to look and see what takes place with Japheth all the way through time. Fascinating study. Fascinating conclusion. Want me to tell you the conclusion ahead of time here? The conclusion is the Lord is not far away. There's not much left to take place. There's not much more to take place in music. And if he's coming soon, we ought to try to do right with our music, amen? Okay, let's look at Shem. Let's look at the music of Shem over time. Now, Shem, Oriental, Eastern part of the world, Eastern music. If we were to look back and kind of give a general description of Oriental music, it's hard to explain. Matter of fact, I'm not being critical, it's just hard to explain. It's very melody-oriented, and that's about all it is. It's got single-line music. The instruments are quite unique. The instruments are mostly stringed instruments or like a flute type of instrument. And those instruments, they don't play two of them together. They don't get into harmony. And you just picture whatever you realize as Oriental music. You just think about it. If you think of Japan or China or whatever it is you think about, it's just, to our ears, it's pretty strange. It's melody only. And it's not our kind of melody. It's not the Western melodies as we would describe them. So it's quite a bit different. Melody affects the spirit. Melody is a spirit thing. Now, Shem is a very spiritual line of people. Look what it says in Genesis again here about Shem. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. So there's a religious nature here with Shem. And we know according to that Bible that you've either got the Holy Spirit or you've got the wrong spirit. It's either God, the true God, or it's a false God. There's no in between. It's either right or it's wrong. So if we're going to be dealing with spirit, we're going to be dealing with the right spirit or the wrong spirit, the right God or the wrong God. Oriental people are very religious people. Amen? Now, you think about the people that you know. They're very religious people. Their music always had a lot to do with their religion. Always had a lot to do with their religion. I'm going to read you a couple quick things here. Their music is closely linked with religions, dance, and drama. Music is an indispensable accompaniment to daily activities. Music is often employed to communicate messages and to relate their culture. Their music is transmitted orally, very little written notation. They have symbolic association with specific gods and goddesses. They may be shaped like birds, animal, or fish. These religions are carried into other parts of the world through their music and is very subtle. And there is much association with nature. Obviously, I'm not talking about God the Father, amen? We're talking about whatever gods they come up with, this music is part of their worship, part of their religion. So historically, the music of Shem doesn't change over all these years. Historically, what do we look at? We don't look at what takes place with music. We look at where it's been in the world. It's pretty much the same sounding stuff up until they get up into the modern era where everybody's playing everybody's music. We're looking at the history and the development of the music from Shem. It did not develop. It always was. It's where it was at in the world. And that's, you remember that. That's very important towards the end. Now, if we're going to look at what the Shemite people did with their music towards God himself, well, that's where you get into your study of music in the Bible. And boy, I'll tell you, there's music all through that Bible. That's one of the most popular subjects, or one of the most noted subjects in the Bible. 500 or so, if not more so, references directly with music in the Bible. And that's not telling you the ones that are indirectly related, but can be applied. I'm talking just 500 verses that deal directly with music. Boy, you'd think we wouldn't be having a problem with music, would we? The Bible's very clear about that thing. I mean, these people go off into the desert, thousands of Israelites going off into the desert to go to war, and what do they stop and do before they go to war? They stop and they get out their psalteries, harps, and cymbals and have a wonderful time of praise to the Lord. I wonder where they kept all these things with all their tools and all their swords and things, you know, amen? And we're so lucky that we got our cassette players, you know? Okay, so the Shemite music doesn't develop. It's just always there, and it's where it's at. Now, let's look at Japheth music. Let's look at the Japheth. Japheth takes us into Europe. Japheth is what most people would probably call the white man's music. And we know that that is spread out all over the world as such, but in its original time, we're talking about going off into Europe. Now, Japheth music is the only music of the three races here between Japheth, Shem, and Ham to where there's actually development. There's actually development. Now, this is where, if you've been to college, this is where you had to take that course called music appreciation. This is where you had to learn about Bach, Beethoven, Brahms, Handel, and all those guys. And most of the time, I call that class music depreciation. How can you learn to hate music in 9 weeks or less? Because most of the people in that class were the guys that didn't want to take it. See, that's what college has. College has classes that you don't want to take, and you don't need to take, and you shouldn't take, but you got to take in order to get what you want. And while they're giving that to you, they're destroying your mind. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, you've heard the phrase Dark Ages, Renaissance, Baroque, class. See, it's coming back now, isn't it? Baroque, classical, romantic, and it's not the kissy hug stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute. I always got my kids excited. Hey, we're going to talk about the romantic era. All right. No, this is not home improvement or anything. This is the different definition. We get into modern music, and I read in Dr. Ruckman's book, he calls the music of today another period. He calls it the demonic era. So we're adding a new one. And that's really true. Dark Ages, Renaissance, Baroque, classical, romantic, modern, demonic. Okay, now, we're going to go back in time here. Let's look at Japheth one more time in Genesis there. God shall enlarge Japheth. God shall enlarge Japheth. So, whatever it is that Japheth is going to do, God's going to bless it. Seems like. He's going to enlarge it. And things are going to take place by these other two brothers and by these other two races that's going to help Japheth do his thing. That's what I see it says. And if we believe that Bible's all the way Word of God, then we have to stick with this thing in Genesis chapter 9. So now Japheth, we find out that Japheth's music deals with the mind, deals with the harmony, deals with the soul. Harmony. Harmony? Harmony is when you play more than one note at the same time. What are those other notes doing in there? All we need is a melody. Well, see, it took some time, but that harmony developed over time. They started off with what they called monophony, or monophony is what it looks like. And that's where we have one single line. There's your melody. Somebody came along and said, do you know that if we put two notes together, that it really sounds kind of neat? So, they put two notes together. I bet you for a while somebody said, hey, that's terrible. Don't do that to me. Well, over a matter of time, they grew to like it. We go back to the Dark Ages. Dark Ages is when they started to come up with more than one melody being sung, and that's called polyphony or polyphony. Polyphony is what it's supposed to be pronounced as. And we got the Gregorian chant. Ever heard the Brothers Bartholomew or whatever? And this, I'm telling you, it's the most dead music you'll ever listen to, because it's coming from a dead church. And the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, what they used to be called, now they teach the kids that it's just the Middle Ages. Well, the Dark Ages was because this church system was out there beating up, torturing, killing people if they didn't belong to that religious system. Well, that's not a very joyous time of life. So historically, that was a very dark time in the history of the world. That's why they call it the Dark Ages. That liturgical church, they banned the singing. It was against their law to be able to sing unless you were part of our musical system. So if they were caught singing, off goes the neck. If they were caught with the Bible, off goes the neck. If they were caught and they didn't have a Bible and they didn't sing, but they heard somebody quote a Bible verse by memory, they killed them. Well, that never would have killed me, so that one wouldn't have been such a problem. Amen? So it was not a happy time. No Bible was allowed. Music centered around the church. It centered around their mass. There was no joy in life. Persecution, dungeons, the feudal system, the whole thing that you hear in school. The Dark Ages. Terrible time. Well, and their music was just single line melody singing together, Omnia, Kyrie, Kyrie, Epsilon, and all that kind of stuff. For hours they would do that. Man. You know? Well, along comes a guy named Martin Luther. Martin Luther says, the story that I've heard, that he goes in this little commode in this convent place, whatever, and has a Bible, has the Word of God, and he reads this stuff about faith, being justified by faith, and he realizes, boy, some of these famous people have been lying to me. That isn't what the Bible, what they're teaching me isn't what the Bible says at all. So he goes out there, gives himself a little hammer and a nail and a bunch of notes and stuff, and he nails all these 96 complaints on the door of this church. And everybody in the world heard that hammer pounding away. And as a result of that, they had what they call the Reformation. And the Reformation turned everything around. People started wanting to get that Bible. And because of that Bible, people came to realize that they can be saved by faith, not paying these priestly guys all this money to get their sins forgiven. As a result, they started getting happy, joyous. They started to sing. We don't have to sing to you. We can sing all that. We can sing to the Lord. Amen. And they started doing that. That's called the Renaissance. Now, what we think of the Renaissance are a bunch of queer-looking people with pointed toes on their little shoes, jumping up and down with their little flutes and their little recorders and things, because that's all they had for instruments. Cut a little hole in the tree, hollow the thing out, and put some holes in it, and blow away, and that's all they came up with. But it was a joyful sound. They got a Bible. They're able to sing again. And Martin Luther wrote harmony. He started to put more than one note together. And many of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, magnificent hymn to sing. But see, what's starting to develop here is harmony. Over the next bunch of years here, now we have, after the Renaissance, we have the Baroque. The Baroque. Now, the Baroque period, which I know everybody has heard probably, the Baroque period is a fancy time. If you look at Baroque artwork, it's got I'm telling you, there's not a spot on that painting that hasn't got some little something drawn on there. I mean, it's got the squirrelicues and the whole thing. If you built a wall in your house, you didn't just slap up some drywall. You had to carve away for about 40 years to have all these little curves and scrolling and stuff. It was a real fancy time. Well, musically, it was the same thing. They just started to develop some of those instruments that were started in the Renaissance, and they started to come up with violins now and violas and cellos, and they're starting to come up with some nice-sounding instruments. The organ comes along. Musicians have to be trained now. It isn't something that you can just learn to play. Orchestras started to be developed. Some people came along named Handel and Bach, and they wrote some of the most spectacular music you'll ever hear. And it was written to God. It wasn't written to people. It wasn't written for themselves. Bach himself and all of his music he wrote on there to Jesus Christ, or God be the glory to Jesus Christ for his glory on all of his music. He wrote that on there. Handel was the Messiah, the story behind his music, and he wrote some other oratorios that were just pure Bible text. God got the glory during those years. And those years, by the way, were 1600 to 1750 was the Baroque. 1600 to 1750. What happened in the world between 1600 and 750? The world was evangelized. Missionaries traveled all over the world without coming home for furlough, without getting church support before they went. What happened? That's the Philadelphian church era. That's when God said, hey, listen, I'm going to open a door for you because you're going to get my words in someplace and you can't even shut it. Boy, wouldn't that be something? I believe that's what that ICQ is doing right now. He's opening that door to have people write to us and they're getting saved over that machine. There's one more door that's being opened into this world. Isn't that something? Well, he did that during this time, and the music... Even the unsaved world will say that this time between the 1600s and the 1700s and early 1800s, this is when music was at its peak, at its purest form. We won't go into the details, but the music had perfect harmony. There was no clashing. There was nothing that would be out of the ordinary. It was just beautiful music. Handel music, Haydn, all these people, beautiful music. And they called it absolute music. The world gives it a title. It's music, it's just beautiful music. It doesn't make you react, it doesn't make you think of anything, it's just beautiful music, beautiful sounds. And those beautiful sounds were written for him. When Handel was writing the Messiah, the story goes that he never got up from the table since he started that thing, and his little servants looked in his room and he's in there crying away and he's just scratching off the stuff, just writing that stuff down. And I don't think that we today could sit down and rewrite Handel's Messiah in the number of days it took him to write it out of nothing. It took me 1 year to rewrite Mozart's 40th Symphony for piano. It took me a whole year to do that. And he wrote that thing in 24 days. Just out of the blue? I don't think so. That was a blessed time. That was a blessed time. Now, after the Baroque period, comes what they call the classical. Do you see what's happening here? The Japheth music is developing. You can call it evolving if you want, but it's not evolving, it's developing. One note, to two notes, to harmony, to orchestras with harmony, each instrument playing different parts, all beautiful music. And it peaks when the Bible was put into English and went around the world. It all peaked during those years, the Philadelphian church age and the book of Revelation. Okay, now, comes a man named Ludwig von Beethoven. And Beethoven did all the right stuff for a while. He wrote some beautiful music. But Beethoven's the first man that comes along and he writes his feelings into his music. When you hear Beethoven's music, you're hearing his emotions. And I believe the reason people like to hear Beethoven more than Handel and Bach is because they identify with Beethoven's person. When you hear Handel and Bach, you can't identify with it. You're just hearing some good stuff. And it's being directed to the Lord. It's not being directed to you. It's being directed to the Lord. So people don't want to hear it. Clean music for God. So Beethoven comes along, and now, if you could picture this, a graph, music has peaked. Harmony. And in order to understand that music, and I don't mean this wrong to people, in order to understand the details of what I could show you, you got to study it. You got to learn this thing. You find out that these people learned now, when Beethoven comes along, how to take that harmony and make you react to that harmony. There's power in harmony. We can get it to affect your emotions. I was playing the Moonlight Sonata this afternoon, just for something else. I can do it here. I can't do it here. And I could have started crying during that thing. I know why he wrote. I know who he wrote it to. And the music and the melody. Oh, man, I could have started crying. That the harmony affects our emotions. And some of you are affected more than others. You know, I'll hear some music on the radio sometime, and I could just start crying if I'm not careful. I'll go to a wedding. I don't even know who the people are. I won't start crying until somebody starts playing this music. Don't even know what it is. Music can do that to a person. And that's the harmony that's making you react. That's the harmony that's going after your feelings, your emotions. Okay, classical now with Beethoven. This is when the orchestras are fully developed. This is when the music is now going to create a picture in your mind. And the example I think of is Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. What's that a picture of? Beethoven wrote that while he was outside trekking around in the pasture. And he was thinking of the music as he's walking around, and he writes this music down. So we listen to Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony, and we think we're walking in the fields. That's what the music does to you. How do you know that? Watch Disney. I would have to say that most people have heard their classical upbringing through Walt Disney. All their cartoons, you know, even the Lone Ranger. There we go, my Lone Ranger again. There's Rosini. William Tell. Yeah, all right, you know. I honestly remember the first time I heard that performed officially. I don't remember if I jumped up like an idiot and said, "The Lone Ranger, all right," you know. Probably did. Okay, so now we have the classical music. Now the classical is when the early part of the classical, the three elements, rhythm, harmony, and melody, are all balanced out together. There's not too much melody, there's not too much harmony, and there's not too much rhythm. Anything out of balance is an abomination to the Lord, Proverbs 11:1. Amen? So, it's going to change now. Beethoven comes along, we go through the Romantic era, where the Romantic era is talking about your feelings and expressions. Music is written for the sole purpose of getting you to feel a certain way. Okay? Over time, the next thing that comes after the Romantic era is the Modern era. Modern era, now we've gone from one note to two notes to four orchestras, clean, beautiful, absolute music, to music to where now we're going to express our feelings through the music, and we get into the Modern era, and they don't know what else to do, so they start making sounds that don't sound good. And after a while, people go, "Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I'd like to hear that cat walk across the keyboard." A guy named John Cage wrote a piece for 12 radios. He also wrote a piece where he laid the piano down, put a bunch of things on the string, and then played the keys, and that was his piece. So I heard Dr. Ruckman say to where we have gone from pictures in our mind, you hear the music, you picture something in your mind, to where now music has gone to pictures of your mind. The unsaved person, the wicked thinking person that we are, that's what the music is coming from. I thought that's pretty good explanation. Okay, let's finish this thing up here. Now we get into the Modern era. We've got new harmonics. We have what they call 12-tone, aleatory music. It's called chance. It's just whatever you play is what you play. You'll take a chance on this piece. We'll play it and see what happens. Well, you know, they call that intelligent music. I used to go to my lessons and play aleatory music all the time. I would just take a chance. I hope I can play this to make Mrs. Parmeter happy. Igor Stravinsky comes along and he writes a full symphony. And the first time he performs it, he gets booted off the stage by the people in Paris, France. They don't want to hear that. Sounds terrible. What are you doing? Get rid of him. Well, now that's a very popular piece. And it's nothing but a bunch of sexual rituals in the music. It's very rhythm-oriented. Now, rhythm-oriented, let's go down to Ham. Let's go down to Ham's music. Review, we've talked about Shem being spiritual music melody. We've talked about Japheth's music. It's harmony-oriented. Okay? And then we go down to Ham. Ham's music, the African music, is nothing but flesh-oriented music. It's the rhythm. It's the rhythm. The music has never been, has never changed. It's got rhythm. It's had rhythm. It has rhythm. It's always going to have rhythm. And a good example of that today is rap music. They've taken out all the melody. They've taken out all the harmony. There's nothing but rhythm, and they call that rap. I used to tell my kids at school back in New York, put a C in front of that, and you know what you got. And that's what it was. Well, if you trace the history of the music of Ham, again, just like Shem's music, it's always been there. Same stuff. And again, we're very generalized tonight. So if you go back and you look at that music, again, it's not the development, it's where it's been. Where is it at? Okay, now, again, we're skipping all the details there. Let's find out where all this music has been at. Well, we go back to Japheth's music. Now, Japheth has taken place from the year 500, if not earlier than that, up till today. There's been a development of Japheth's music. Europe, come over to America in due time. We look at Shem's music. It's always been in the East, Oriental music, and it's always been over there. If we look at Ham's music, it's always been in Africa. But wait a minute. That music has come up to the Indies. That music has come up through the Caribbean. That music has come up to New Orleans. That music traveled up the Mississippi River to Chicago, brought along with it nothing but a bunch of drunks and a bunch of whores, and brought sin everywhere it went. And it was all rhythm-oriented music, which is flesh. And nothing can come out of our flesh, nothing good in our flesh. God doesn't want to hear our flesh. He doesn't want to get anything. He gets no glory out of our flesh. Amen? I don't think any Bible believer has a hard time with that. Here's a couple of verses if anybody needs to hear them. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Get the hint? Our flesh is nothing but grass, as the Bible says. And all I can think of is a lawnmower going out there and just clipping that grass off every couple days. And if you don't water it, that flesh will die. Water it too much, that flesh will die. So if in the flesh is a Christian, you're going to die. Amen? He wants us to walk in the Spirit, okay? So the flesh is not our way. Music comes up to Chicago, starts spreading out through the world. Before you know it, we got jazz. That's a big item for many people. Seems to be clean music. It's not rock, but it progresses to rock. And the Bible talks about our conscience being seared in Timothy. So if we go back in time, jazz doesn't sound so bad anymore, does it? Compared to rock. Especially the heavy rock, the heavy metal, the acid rock. I just didn't go back and listen to Chuck Coltrane on the saxophone. Yeah, but see, if you compare that to God's standard in Philippians, where it says, think on things that are lovely, pure, and just, that sort of thing, still doesn't cut the mustard. Jazz is still flesh music. Doesn't matter if it's a good piece or a bad piece, it still affects the flesh. Amen? It gets into rock music. So we got America being rock and roll to death. And then over time, what do we have? We got garbage rock. We got punk rock. We've been through the whole rock scene. Folks, rock music is over with. You got to be kidding. Well, look, it's everywhere you go. It's in the elevators. It's in the stores. It's in the grocery stores. It's on your commercials. 10 years ago, we never would have said that's where rock music's going to be. We are used to rock music. We can hear it. It doesn't bother us anymore. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that bothered us. I wouldn't go in the stores. I remember Freddy's in New York. We would never go into that store because the music was terrible. Well, now the music that they played isn't that bad compared to what we're used to hearing. So rock music is fading out. How do I know rock music is fading out? Well, you ever heard the phrase New Age music? Okay. New Age music is starting to come in. New Age music doesn't have any rhythm. New Age music doesn't have any harmony. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful music. It's not rock music. Boy, am I glad rock music is fading away. The teeny boppers and the kids of today, where are they at? World's wising up. The world is getting rid of their rock music. They know what it's doing. They're going to New Age. What are the Christian churches doing? They're just starting to get into rock music, contemporary Christian music. That's garbage. That is rock and roll with God's words. Can't be done. That's just like I use an example. You got some nice, beautiful, clean, seedless grapes. I love seedless grapes. I drop those seedless grapes into a big pail of garbage. All of a sudden, those seedless grapes don't seem to be too appealing to me. I look at those seedless grapes like the Word of God. And that music, that rock music out there that we know is garbage, you take those little grapes, you put those things in that garbage, you take God's beautiful, perfect, and pure words and put it in. Japheth's music developed, went to pot. We've got Ham's music in Africa, comes over, does its damage, and fades away, fades out of importance. Now what's coming in? The Shemite, the Oriental music, Native American music. Want to make it American. And the Indians and the Native Americans have been out of the scene for all these years, amen? But America has gone African in so many ways, with music, with clothing styles, even our language, even the way we talk. You know, it's changed. It's changed. But now that's going away. We're going Shemite. Now, is that a problem? Well, let me show you something here. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 2. And then we'll finish this up. Isaiah chapter 2. If we were to go back and look at those three races of music again, those three lines of music, we will see that for years and years, Japheth's music was Japheth. Shem's music was Shem. Ham's music was Ham. It was either in Africa, it was in the East, or it was in Europe. It started to mix in America. And all three of these types of music, all three of these races of music came together in the big band era in America. You've got the European instrument, the harmonies, saxophones, trumpets. See, the European instruments there. And you got the harmonies. But you've also got the emphasis on the melody. Here's a melody. I bet you know what it is. In the mood. Because you know the melody. So the music became very popular because it was very melodic. The music also had a drum set. Rhythm. They brought in the rhythm. So what do we have happening in America? We have all three of them coming together. Big band era. We've got flesh, we got melody, we got the spirit, we got harmony, we got the soul. Everything's involved now. We're tying them in together. Well, it doesn't take long at all. Nobody wants to hear the melody. Nobody wants to hear the harmony. They go into the rhythm because that's what we like the best, the flesh, the rhythm, rock music. Big band era, jazz, rock music. Rock music does its damage. And does it ever do its damage? Destroys a country, destroys the world. Matter of fact, Bible-believing people, we can trace the destruction of God's word right along with that music. Same place, same part of the world. Alexandria, Egypt. You racist. Didn't say that at all. What I'm saying is the Alexandrians destroyed God's word. The Alexandrian line there, Ham's line, destroyed music. That music, in turn, and that Bible being changed, in turn, destroyed America, destroyed the world. Well, let's get off that subject. Well, what do we got going on in New Age? That's Shemite. Shemite is spiritual. If you start looking at the New Age Bibles, especially get a book by Gail Riplinger, you will see that the new Bibles, the new versions, are New Age Bibles. New Age philosophies, Oriental philosophies, reincarnation, you know, the whole Hindus, Buddhisms, the whole that stuff, the great spirit in the sky, Native America, all that is Oriental religions, New Age religions, New Age music. It's all tying in. So what do you see in the big picture? Japheth has had its glory, and it fell. Baroque, classical. Japheth's out of the picture. Amen? And you know Japheth is out of the picture. Hamite comes along, does his thing. Well, that music's out of the picture. Damage has been done. Shemite music is coming along, and we're having that New Age music. And what do we have happening? New Age Bibles. What do we have happening? People think they're getting religious. They think they're getting spiritual because the music is making them think spiritual and religious. And all in reality, these wrong Bibles with false God music, they're being deceived. Just like in Daniel chapter 3. Some of that New Age music is pretty music. It's beautiful stuff. But it doesn't send you towards God. It's leading you to a false image. So in all reality, the argument today is not whether it's good or bad music. You step back and look at that whole picture, you can see where good and bad music has been around. It's done its damage, and people are deceived into looking at the wrong God. Now, if we had the time, which I won't do tonight, we can show you how that music has replaced the Bible in America. For a classic example of what's happened with music. Now, at this point, I would be willing to say that there's probably people in here tonight that are saying, I don't buy this. I don't buy this stuff about rock music. Well, go play something. You're going to respond fleshly. I don't know about this New Age stuff. Well, you play that New Age a lot. Look on the tapes. Look what they say. Relax. Go to the beach with Mozart. And they'll take some of the classical music, the good stuff, and they'll take out some of that harmony, and they'll just use that pretty melody, and they'll put some waterfall in there, or some beach music, or beach, you know, the sound of the wave coming and going back, or coyotes howling, or butterflies flapping their wings, or whatever, or little mice stuck in little glue traps, you know. Nature's being involved. Let's see. Nature. Environmentalists. New Age Bibles. Music has proven all of that. So what do we get out of that thing? We get the fact that we know what's going on. What's going on? Isaiah chapter 2. I'll show you what's going on. Isaiah chapter 2. Then we're done here. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people of the house of Jacob. Why is that? What's the problem here? We have some people being forsaken because what? They be replenished from the east. Now, what's happening here is America is being replenished from the east. New Age Bibles, New Age music, New Age philosophies. Amen. New Age religions. What else is happening? The world is being replenished from the east. It's about done. We've been replenished from the south, as such. We got our blessings from God through Japheth. God blessed that for a while. Then man got involved. God said, okay, I'll leave you on your own. You do the music the way you want it to be. And we see in our Bible today that New Age is the last thing to happen. And you know what the word last thing means? We're about out of here. We're about done. Now, I don't see how anything else can happen out of music except this New Age thing can get stronger and stronger. That's something. You mean to tell me if you study music from the beginning in Job to Revelation, and you go through Japheth, Ham, and Shem, you can see everything that's taken place. You can see how the Word of God was destroyed. You can see how countries were destroyed. You can see what race did it. You can see what emphasis was done with music. And you can see what's going on today, and we know what's going on tomorrow. All by the study of music, the big picture. Now, all of a sudden, I'm hoping that little piece of puzzle that you had in your hand before we started tonight, that little piece of puzzle somehow doesn't seem near as important anymore as that big piece. The whole puzzle itself. We still need to talk about those little pieces. Syncopation is a problem. Instrumentation can be a problem. But we have to remember what we learned from Daniel, that it isn't just bad music that gets us to worship the false god. All kinds of music can do it. Amen? Amen.